Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hello, lady listeners.
Welcome.
Hey, lady DJs. What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Welcome to the Read Me Romance podcast. I remembered to say it in the first 20 seconds today before we got too
Gold
deep.
Star.
It's Ali Martinez week. If you're joining us for the first time, this is what's going to happen. This is the format of our show. We release a free audiobook every single week on the podcast. This week, it's Smolder by Ali Martinez. We're going to break it into two parts. We're going to release the first half on Monday and the second half on Friday. But before we release the audiobook, we're going to chit-chat a little bit. So sit back, get your coffee.
I literally
get
just
ready
did
for
that.
Some...
I just sat back, grabbed my coffee. Like, I'm ready.
You did.
Yes,
you did.
In the back seat of my car, because I'm here.
Leah is in the back seat of her car.
Yes. I'm recording in the back of my car today because my daughter has camp, and this week it's like day camp, but it's a Minecraft camp. So she learns how to like program and add stuff to her Minecraft game and all this stuff. And she gets to play with other kids. But they also do like outdoor activities, like today's water day. And they get to do other fun stuff with it. She just really loves it. But it's at Queens University in Charlotte, which is just over an hour from my house. So I just can't justify like driving an hour and 10 minutes there, driving an hour and 10 back home, recording or doing something at home, and then turn around at 3 o'clock and driving 2 hours again. Like, I just can't justify that kind of drive. So what I do is I usually just go and I like go to Panera and write or whatever I work for in Charlotte that day. And so this was last summer, it worked out great. And this summer I forgot, oh shit, we have to record the podcast. So we're having to do 2 weeks of podcast work from the back of my car this week. So if the audio is a little different or a little shaky or, you know, whatever, it's because I'm in a hot car in the middle of summer in North Carolina with the windows rolled up. All right. So if I pass out, just Tessa, Mel, somebody call 911 for me. Okay.
Yeah, can you text me your location in case we need to call an ambulance?
I'm tracking her. I got it.
Okay, yeah. Mel's always tracking. Oh, yeah. She's good. I'm outside the Panera.
I texted her yesterday, and she was at Panera, and I circled the place next door because it was our taco place. I was like, you're doing this wrong. Go next door.
It's like, it's 9 in the morning. Simmer down. It's not open yet. That's my plan.
There are
later.
Certain places you can't go use your laptop and write. You like, I would love to go into like, yeah, like a Taco Bell.
Yeah, and just sit down.
But you have to pick your
spot. I can't do Starbucks here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Starbucks are too small. Where, oddly enough, you think I live in the Midwest. Everything should be giant, lots of space. But all the Starbucks by me are tiny. I would never even try to write inside of one.
They're all like that, though. I've never been inside a big Starbucks.
Oh, there's like varying sizes over here, but there's one near my house that's in, it's actually in Queens. It's like right, because like, you know how I live right on the border of Queens and Long Island?
Yeah.
So it's on the Queens side. So sometimes I go in there and write, and like, I'm telling you, no less than 25 NYPD cops come in to get coffee while I'm sitting there, and they're all stacked. I just sit there and just
you're
gleeful.
Super productive, right?
Yeah. Just taking creeper pictures with my phone.
You're
of
like
police officers.
The legit juices are flowing right now. So yeah, so I'm in the back of the hot car recording this week, but something happened on this morning when we were getting ready to go, and I wanted to wait and tell you guys. So my daughter, like I said, it's water day today where they are. And so I said, oh, do you want to bring a bathing suit? And she was like, no, I'm just going to wear my clothes. And I was like, she's like, I'll bring a change of clothes. And I was like, wait, you're just going to wear your clothes like to play water games? And she's like, well, I'm the only girl in the class. And she was like, it's kind of embarrassing to be in my bathing suit. And this is the first time she's ever like recognized or said this to me. I mean, sure, she's recognized it before. This is the first time she's ever said to me that she was embarrassed of something like that, or that she recognized that there are boys and girls dress different and that, you know, she doesn't want to be semi-naked in front of them. You know, I was like, it just kind of made me pause for a minute because she had never said that before. And I didn't know if you guys had experienced that or like there was a moment where they realized it, you know?
I get frustrated with my daughter. Maybe I shouldn't. She's very like she does not want to show her body.
She's
like,
modest.
Okay. Like, tell me again how old she is.
She is 13.
Oh, that's normal, right, for 13,
like,
right?
Like, I'm coming in the bathroom. She's like, I have a shower. I'm like, who cares? It's just me. Or she's like, and I'm like, it's just me. Will you calm down? Like, I'm like, why are you acting crazy? We're just two girls. It's like a locker room.
Yeah.
And she's like, not like having it.
She's like, no, this isn't the gym, mother. Get it.
My daughter doesn't, like, I think it's been probably about 6 months of my daughter like now not wanting my husband to come into the room while she's changing, you know, all of a sudden it's like, Dad, I'm changing, you know, get out.
I haven't had that happen yet. She still walks around the house completely naked.
I remember, yeah, my son is always naked. He does not care. It's a fight to keep clothes on him and he's 9.
I can see, though, my daughter, because we have the community pool that we go to pretty much every day during the summer.
Yeah.
And so all her classmates are there. And I can see, like, when she runs into one of her boy classmates, I can see, like, from her body language that she is aware of,
that,
like,
she's not wearing
that
clothes.
She's in a bathing suit and she's not wearing, like, what she would normally be wearing at school. And it's different. Like, I can see that she definitely understands it's different. But she's not she's not self-conscious yet.
Yeah. So. I remember, that's weird that you said that. I don't know why this stuck in my mind. We only had one bathroom that you could shower in growing up until I was like in high school. We lived in the same house. And it was in my parents' master bathroom. And I would always get undressed, grab my PJs, and because the towel was already in the bathroom, and walk through my parents' bedroom and go to get in the shower. And I remember after one of my showers one day, my dad pulled me aside and told me that I need to stop walking through the house naked.
Oh, how old were you?
I can't remember. And I was like, I'd never thought about it. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
It's funny though, like when things like that stick out in your head, because I remember this. Yeah, like you're like, okay, now you have to start behaving like an adult because
like,
of ex.
Yeah, I never even thought about it. He was just like, you kind of you can't walk through the house naked anymore. And I'm like, Mom walks through the house naked all the time.
I wonder how hard it was for him to have that just to say that. That probably took weeks of gearing up to say that to you.
So what did you say? What were you remember, Tessa?
I remember one time, like, I remember just coming downstairs every morning and just, like, throwing myself on the couch and watching TV with my dad. And I remember one morning him being like, you need to brush your teeth before you come downstairs. Like, he's like, you can't just come down here and start having conversations with people anymore. You have morning breath. Welcome to adulthood. I remember that. I think about it all the time.
Really? Like,
you know. It, yeah, like, I swear.
It's funny though, because like with, you know, our oldest one, we tell her all the time, like, oh, you got stinky breath or stinky feet or what. She doesn't care. She's like, oh, smell that fart. Like, she just.
Oh,
she
Mackenzie's like that too.
Yeah, she doesn't care about being gross, which I think is kind of cute. But again, it just struck me as odd when she said that. And like my heart ached a little bit because I was just like, she's not just so innocent anymore, you know? Like, I don't know. It was just, it was a big moment at 7:30 a.m. as we're about to leave. But I did ask her, I said, well, what about wearing a bathing suit with a t-shirt over it? And she was like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So that was kind of what she ended up doing.
My daughter doesn't like wearing bikini stuff. She wears swim trunks and a swim shirt.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, and I could see her.
But
doing
she's boyish.
Like that.
She's boyish. She's
That's what I used to
like
do. I used
daughter.
To wear swim trunks and a like a one piece. Like I was very just like self conscious of my body. Mm-hmm. I still wear a bathing suit with kind of a skirt, but I'm really not like I feel like I don't need to anymore. It's just the bathing suit I have. But
the one that fits.
Mm-hmm. You guys, can we talk about Hopper on Stranger Things. Who's watching it?
Okay, so Mel, did you look up
Hopper? No spoilers, by the way. Nobody freak out.
Absolutely no spoilers, because people have spoiled it for me. But Mel, look up Hopper, Stranger Things. I want you to see him, because we did talk about him a little bit last week. Because I was
better
so
yet,
excited.
Google season 3. Stranger Things.
I've never watched the show, but I accidentally bought a shirt and I didn't realize it was theirs until I walked past my husband's computer and he's watching it. And I was like, he's wearing my shirt. I got a Target.
What does it have on it?
I sent a picture of you. I got it because it said Camp 1985, which is the year I'm born, which is why I got it.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Oh, I forgot. Okay. So, yeah, you did send me a picture of that shirt, but it was from Stranger Things. But
His dad bod is so Hopper. Glorious. Yeah, Hopper, Stranger Things, season 3 specifically, because I don't feel like I feel like
he's didn't portray his hotness as much, but
he's thick.
What?
I don't know.
No, I feel like he added 10 pounds. And
oh, yeah.
It's
he definitely
been,
got bigger.
But it's, like, been an amazing addition.
It's not like a 8-pack addition. It's like a thick addition.
Yeah.
He's been working out like a line man.
Do you see it? Like, he's just big. Like, I said that last week, too. I was like, can you imagine how heavy he'd be on top of you?
Yes, I can. So. I do. I do frequently.
Heavy.
But he's also hairy and grumpy. And it's just like he's like a human equivalent of a bear.
I know.
It's
and he's like,
beautiful.
He's so sweet with his daughter, too. He's just like, he's so mad that, like, she's dating and she's kissing boys, and he's just like, no, I love you. You're my little girl. Like, he's just like, it's sweet and mean.
Mel, you would love that. You would love that aspect of it. Because he's like, she's basically been in this, like, Russian facility being, like, taught mind control and all this stuff. And she's got powers and
held captive.
But she ends up living with the cop, like, the small town cop, because he wants to protect her from these people, and they have this relationship that's just beautiful. It's just so sweet.
She's
now a teenager and she wants to like kiss her boyfriend and stuff, so
and he's mad as shit about it.
He drives him home and he's like, listen to me, you little fucker.
No. It's so good. And he's like mad at everybody because this is the problem, you know, like that. But he's just, I loved it. So, but yeah, of course, it came out on July 4th. Sorry. It came out on July 4th, and everybody watched it immediately. Well, I was out of town that weekend, so I couldn't watch it till we got home. And I was so pissed off that people were posting huge spoilers on Twitter and stuff, and on Facebook. Like, people I'm friends with were posting these huge spoilers, and I was like, fuck you. I can't watch the goddamn show the second it comes out. Like,
I know. My daughter stayed up watching it. She was just talking to me about it. She's like, oh, I cried. You don't get this, Mom. I'm like,
no, it's a great, look, this was a great season. I enjoyed every episode. It was so good. But I was so mad that, like, why do people post shit right that second? Like, what's the need to tell everybody that I watched it? This huge thing happens. Fuck you.
I haven't seen anything. I have seen nothing about it. And I can only watch like 2 or 3 episodes a day. I just don't have. And also my husband works nights and I have to wait for him to be home. So.
Well, that's what we did. I mean, we had to we watched it in, I think, 2 or 3 days. But we just stayed up till like 1 in the morning one night watching them because we were like, because I already knew like what some of the stuff that was going to happen. And I was like, let's just go. Like, I'm tired. I don't want to ruin. I was so pissed off because I was like, I don't want anything else to be ruined. And so, like, I don't know. But after we watched it, my husband posted on Facebook. He was like, I just watched Stranger Things and I'm not going to spoil it like a fucking dickhead. And I was like, yes, that's right. But
good.
I don't know. I'm like,
alienate everybody in your town.
Yes.
Alienate your Facebook friends.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is basically is that if you watch a show that just came out, don't be a dick, all right? Don't be a dick.
And also, like, I don't think some people realize that how easy it is to to spoil things even by being vague.
Yes.
Like, there is, yes, like, a way of saying something that you, like, people can read between the lines and figure out what happened, even if you don't specifically say what it is. Like, if you just, if you come out and you're, like, telling people you're crying and you're sad about, yeah, something, but you're not going to spoil it, well, guess what?
Exactly. That's, you have. That's literally what happened. Somebody said, oh my God, I just finished it. I can't stop crying, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you know, people are just making comments. And then she says in the comments on one of the episodes what happens. And I'm like, I can see the comments, you dumbass. She's like, spoilers in the comments. And I'm like, the comments show up on Facebook. They don't filter those out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have to click on it and it comes up.
Annoying. Well, at this point, this is like, when this airs, it'll be like 4 weeks past the, when it was released. So at this point, you know.
Well, and it's like, for example, so you were saying the vague thing. I'm going to tell you a spoiler that happens on Game of Thrones, but this happened 8 years ago. So whenever in the beginning or whatever, when Joffrey dies, when he gets murdered. So that night, somebody had gone on Facebook and said, like, that little fucker got what he deserved. And I was just like, that we hadn't had the chance to watch the episode yet. And
I would not, like, even know who you... I don't even watch the show, and I would have known who you were talking,
exactly,
about if you said that.
Exactly, because it was like, it was that season, that episode was coming up, like, it was hit, that wedding episode was coming up, like, a Joffrey's wedding. So it was just like, we all knew what, like, what episode was going on that night, and then I was like, well, I guess he does. And it was just, like, that vague little thing. Oh, my God. It just made me so angry. Like, I'm angry all over again talking about it. We should change the subject. I'm sorry.
All right. Let's talk about...
how cute this picture is. Everybody's responding three... to.
Oh, yeah, that is really...
in your Facebook group. Yeah, yeah. In the Read Me Romance headquarters, Mel posted this beautiful picture of her parents. How old are they?
16 and 18.
Your parents, oh my God, are 16, they look it, and 18. They look like babies. And babies. I never realized how much you look like your mom until,
oh,
that,
yeah,
picture.
I do.
Yeah,
I,
like,
do.
You look
whenever
just,
I,
like her.
In pictures, I'll catch it. Like, my driver's license, when, yeah, I first got it, I was like, holy shit, it's my mom.
Well, and, like, your mom has blonde hair now. So, like, I wouldn't have ever thought it, because I saw that picture of the wedding. She's got jet black hair, and I was like, Melissa, get out of the 70s. Oh, so, yeah.
Okay, so I downloaded three books last night, three very, very different books, and you guys have to tell me which one to read first.
All right.
Okay, so first I downloaded the second book in the Victorian Rebels series from Kerrigan Byrne, because all I've read so far is The Highwayman, like, you know, we've all been talking,
yes,
about for weeks.
Yes.
But I want to read the whole thing, and I've just been, like, so busy. So I downloaded that. It's called The Hunter. That's what I'm going to be reading.
Is that book two?
That's book two.
Okay, because I only have the first one because I'm still getting through the Grigori, like, the Dragon Shifter books from Lauren Smith.
Smith.
Yeah, yeah, I'm on the second book of that. So I've got those three books, and then I'm going back to The Highwayman. So I need to know what book to read next. So this is
it's good. The Hunter. And Hunter, then the third one is The Highlander, and that's the one that everybody keeps saying is the greatest book ever. So I'm like, okay, I just gotta get there.
I know. So wait. So who are those two books about, though? Like, or were they introduced in The Highwayman?
I think so. Remember, he has that friend that worked in, like, that was kind of like a private investigator in The Highwayman? The kind of, like, he showed up at the end. I read it about 6 months ago, so I can't think of his name.
Okay.
But I think he's in it. But either way, I think it just, I think it's like
matter.
Loosely based in the same world,
read it
you
anyways.
Know?
It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
So the second book I downloaded was, okay, so what happened was I was just scrolling through Facebook innocently, and a post from Natasha is a Book Junkie came up.
Yeah.
And it was a passage from Sweet Dreams by Kristen Ashley. It was basically just a quote from the book where this woman, okay, she was standing behind a bar, she was tending bar, and she overhears her boss in the back room saying, why did you hire this fat...
Oh, it's a good book, yeah.
Why did you hire this fat, old, suburban-ass bitch to drag her ass around our bar? And that's the hero that says
what?
It.
What?
No! Calm down. He's just angry. He's
yeah, but, like, but then she, but she said, but it kills her. Like, in the passage that Natasha posted, it just kills her. And you can just tell, like, that would be enough to be the conflict for the whole book. Like, that's, it was beautiful. And I'm like, I have to read that.
It's a great book. It is a great book. He redeems himself in every way. And he was just saying, he was angry because he likes her.
Oh my God. So I,
you know, it's like those people who say they don't like something they haven't tried, or they try to tell themselves they don't like it to say something mean about it. Mm-hmm. That's him. Like a spoiled child throwing a fit.
Yeah, or just like a real life man.
Putting his foot in his mouth.
Yeah. So I'm going to read that. I haven't read near enough Kristen Ashley, so I got to get on that. And then the third one I downloaded, which I should probably not have downloaded, and I probably shouldn't be admitting, but somebody texted me, a friend reader of mine, that there's a book with a serial killer. And I've been wanting to read a book with a serial killer for like the longest time.
Yeah, a romance?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know, it's sick. And so she was like, well, she's like, you didn't hear it from me, but there's a book called Pretty Stolen Dolls by Kay Webster. So I have that downloaded, and apparently it's about like two girls who have been abducted by the serial killer.
There's something about Kay Webster, like, I have limits of things I will not read. Like, it's hard limits. But I will know going into a book, maybe that's part of the thing. I know going into Webster's, she's going to push limits I don't normally care for, but maybe it's because I know going in, and I don't know what it is. I always get where I want to go when I read her.
Yeah, like, do you?
I always get where I'm going when I read her.
And you always,
my friend was like, be warned, this is not safe at all. She's like, it's very dark, very, very dark. And I was like, because I just feel like as I get older, those kind of things, I can read something out of curiosity.
Yeah, but
and
I think that's
okay.
Part of it when you go into it knowing a little bit. Because I read probably 3/4 of her books. I do, and they aren't the typical fluffy Alexa, but I still read her. I have a friend, Polly, who does it too. We're like, why are we so okay with these books that we keep reading them? I'm like, I don't know. We can't stop.
You say maybe because it pushes your boundaries or something.
But I feel like for some reason it pushes my boundaries, but I always know that Webster's going to bring it back for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back at the end and be like, yeah, that was good.
That's a good, that's scary. A nice compliment. I would love having that compliment as an author. Like, you can go anywhere, but she'll find a way to get it back and satisfy you, like, whatever you needed out of the book, you know?
So I want to know about this serial killer book. How long is it? Can you tell me? You know how many
I looked it up and it was like 250-ish pages.
I'd be down for that. That's not a huge commitment.
Yeah. And there's 4 books in the series, and I think she writes it with another author. Is it Kerr Dookie?
Oh, it's a series.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I think I'm going to read that just because I'm like, I just need that curiosity satisfied, and it's going to be dark and horrifying. But
I know, it is. Yeah, I'm just going to say, why haven't you written it yourself? That's what I'm talking about.
I know. I should really start another pen name where I write really dark, true crime stuff.
Yes.
Just to, like, satisfy that itch.
Uh-huh. Make you write fanfic about Paul Holes and Billy Jensen.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this book by Ali Martinez, Smolder, the hero is a criminal, and I loved it. It was amazing. He's obsessed with her. He's got cameras in her bedroom. Like, I'm not spoiling anything by saying this, but like, it opens like up with her like touching herself in bed, and the cameras are pointed at her in her bedroom. And she says, like, if I take them down, they'll just be reinstalled the next day because he's watching from the other side. Yeah.
But she says, if I asked him to take them down, he would.
They'd be gone tomorrow. Yeah, that's what I liked too, was that. So we all read this book, which is awesome. But I liked in it where she's like, I know he's watching. I know he's going to do it. And, you know, the fact that she says, like, if I ask him to take him down, he'll take him down. If I rip them down myself, they'll be up again tomorrow.
If I rip them down in anger, he's going to put them up.
Yeah.
Because he's just going to know I'm throwing a fit.
I just loved how crazy he was for her. And, like, what struck
me... All she has to do is whisper his name and he shows up.
And he just shows up. Like, what the fuck is that? I loved how just utterly obsessed he was.
You guys, it's going to be a great week for you guys because it is very intense and hot and sexy and a little bit of suspense. It's going to be a phenomenal week of lessons for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are going to eat it up.
Do you guys love a woman in peril trope?
Yes. Of course.
Yeah.
I love when a hero saves the day, like, rescues her. You know, like, the damsel in distress. There's nothing sexier to me than that. Like,
I also love when they get, like, they save the day, and then the heroine, like, gets to punch somebody or something. I remember that Lauren Donner book where, and V's book, where she, like, walks over, the heroine's so mad at the guy, and she, like, grabs his glasses off of his face, and, like, but the guy can't do anything, and she, like, stomps on him because her boyfriend's just standing there like this. Because he can't do nothing. It's just like, you! And she, like, kicks the other guy, and he's just letting her beat on him. But it's like a girly beating.
Yeah, it's cute.
Do you remember that?
You know what? I wonder if we'll ever go a week on this podcast where we don't talk about Lauren Donner. If we do, we're packing it in, all right? I don't ever want to be a part of this if she's not mentioned once a week. But no, but you asked us to think of heroes, right? Like, bad guys, heroes.
I asked you to think of books where there is a hero who is a criminal.
Well, obviously, we're going to say Last Hit by Jen Frederick.
The Last Hit by Jen Frederick, obviously. Yeah,
so that's just common. I actually like Izzy Sweet. She does a lot of bad guys.
Is there a book that you can remember that stuck out?
I've read her. Izzy Sweet?
I never heard of her. Izzy Sweet.
Yeah. She has, like, God, she has a whole series. It's, like, I think called Disciplines or something like that. And it's, like, stealing Amy, kidnapping Megan, or Breaking Meredith, things like that. But they're all dark bad guys, but they're, like, super obsessed. And I think they're all on Kindle Unlimited, too.
I think that's the thing about a bad guy that I love, is because they're usually crazy for the girl, you know? Like, they're usually just fucking nuts.
And I think you give them a pass because they're already bad people. So they just do whatever they want. You're like, oh, that's normal that he's acting fucking nuts. He's a criminal.
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't operate by the rules of society, and so, like, they, you know, it just transfers to the relationship as well, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, and it just it's like, it's not excusable, but it is in a way. Where you're like, well, the baby's out with the bathwater.
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you said that was Caleb. What's that, the dark series, what is it?
Oh yeah, Prisoner. Captive in the dark.
Captive in the Dark. And that's by, I can see her face.
Roberts.
Yes.
CJ Roberts?
CJ Roberts.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, by CJ. How can I remember the hero's name? Not the title or the author. But
have we talked about Captive in the Dark by CJ Roberts on this podcast?
Yeah, I have before, but that one's really, really dark.
And I don't like talking about that book. I don't know why. Like, it makes me anxious.
It was a hard read the first time.
Why? Because it's about human trafficking?
I've read the whole series. And it makes me, every time somebody brings it up, I'm like, it's like traumatic. I'm like, I don't want to talk about this.
I know, because you know what it's like when you're reading it, you're like, I should really
Because you like
be...
them and I don't, I shouldn't like them.
I shouldn't just, like this, yeah.
It's like such a bad guy.
Yeah, so every time I think about it, I'm like, I don't want to think about this because I kind of liked him and I didn't want to like him, so I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
One's like, I mean, he's a terrible person, and he does terrible things.
Oh, what about the book where he steals her to the island?
Oh, that's
Arizaris
Twist Me. Yeah, Anazaris.
Twist Me, Take Me.
Yeah, I think the first one's Twist Me or something. Is that right?
He's a bad guy, and he's fucking really nuts. Bad.
And he kidnaps this young girl,
and he's just like, I'm gonna keep you.
Yeah, he's like, you're gonna be my pet. So that one's kind of fucked up. Yeah, that's a whole series.
Wait, what's the name of the book and the author again?
I think it's Twist Me is the first one, maybe, but Anna Zaris.
Oh,
is that it?
Z-A-I-R-E-S?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the first one Twist Me? Is that the name of it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. My recommendation for Criminal Hero is All Chained Up by Sophie Jordan. It's $2.99 on Kindle. It's about a man who's in, so it, the heroes are literally in prison. The heroine of this book is the prison nurse, and there is a riot. Like, a riot breaks out in the prison.
And
he has to protect the nurse.
The cover almost looks like it's Matthew McConaughey with his face cut off.
Ooh.
All chained up?
Yeah.
Let me take a look.
I'm okay
know.
With that.
Except for the tattoo.
I'm totally
like,
okay.
Hey, yeah, that looks like we're living in the McConaissance. Oh, you're right. It does look like Matthew McConaughey.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and play you the first installment of Smolder by Ali Martinez. And
get
we
ready.
Will,
you guys are in for such a fucking
You guys
treat.
Are going to oh fucking God. Love it. It starts off with so female good. Masturbation.
Yes,
so.
It's so good. I love it.
Yes.
I can't wait to talk more about it on Friday.
When you come back, or when we come back from listening to the first few chapters, we'll talk about what Allie has, what deals Allie has going on just for you guys this week, and what giveaways she's doing. So stay tuned and enjoy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Chapter 1. Ivy. His rich brown eyes, stained the color of whiskey, danced on the backs of my lids as I rubbed circles over my clit. My breath hitched when I imagined his lips descending upon mine, gentle and ruthless as only he could be. I didn't like to even think his name, much less say it, no matter how many times it clung to the tip of my tongue. It was held securely in place by nothing more than my fears. Fears he could extinguish with a single touch. The very same fears he bred with his every breath. Opening my legs wider, I kicked the blanket off, exposing my bare sex to the camera mounted on the ceiling across the room. It had been installed along with several others throughout my house years earlier. I'd never seen the person he'd had install them, but on the rare nights when I'd felt like picking a fight, I had ripped them down. They were replaced the next day. Sometimes that very same night as I slept alone in my bed. If I'd have asked him to take them down, they would have been removed immediately, no questions asked. But I was nowhere near ready to sever that connection. I had no idea who he'd hired to sit on the other side of those cameras. In my mind, fogged with raw desire, it was him. Always him. I could almost see the taut muscles at his shoulders straining against the confines of a button-down as he leaned forward to get a better view of my wetness. His long cock thickening down the leg of his slacks and his maddening tongue snaking out to dampen his suddenly dry lips. He liked to watch, and I loved giving him a show. We'd been playing this game for years. Tortuous, brilliant, excruciating, blissful years. I moaned. My stomach tightening as my impending orgasm blazed a chill over my skin. My mouth fell open and my head wrenched to the side, resting comfortably against the goose down pillows he'd bought me. I'd never asked for those pillows. I'd simply Googled them one day, and less than 24 hours later, they'd appeared on my bed while I had been at the grocery store. They were divine, much like everything else in the 3,000-square-foot house I owned outright without ever having paid a penny for it. That is, if you don't count the cost of all the tears, heartbreak, and eternal longing for a man who had claimed my soul. The same man I couldn't be with, or live without. My back arched off the mattress as my all-too-soft fingers drew me closer to the edge. His rough and calloused hands would have been better, but he never would have been satisfied with just finger-fucking me into oblivion. His hot, needy mouth would have sucked and licked at one breast while he split his attention by massaging the other with his firm palm. His tongue would have rolled over my nipple, his teeth scraping violently, causing a tidal wave of pleasure and pain. It was a combination that might as well have defined him as a man. My mind called forth a barrage of memories from the nights we'd been together. 5 years. My push, his pull. His unwillingness to give me the one thing that would allow us to be together. My unwillingness to accept him for the man I'd always known he was. I loved him. Utterly, completely, permanently. But I'd come from a family on the wrong side of the law. I'd sworn to myself too many times that as soon as I could escape that life, I'd never look back. But that was before I'd met him. Before he'd saved my life. Before he'd killed my brother, and then my father. I'd shed not the first tear for either of them as they were lowered into the ground. I wore the physical and emotional scars of years of abuse at their hands. But standing at a funeral he had funded for no other reason than to give me closure, I sobbed while staring into the deep brown eyes of the gentle savage I could never keep. He loved me, fiercely. But he also respected my choices, even when they destroyed him. After their funeral, he'd driven me to my new house, fucked me sweet and slow, and then walked out of my life just the way I'd asked him to. The only times he ever came back was when I called him. Not on the phone. I didn't need his number. But if I said his name, no matter how softly, he was there in a matter of hours. I hated that he was only 3 syllables away. Like an alcoholic with a bottle stashed under the sink, I could never quit, knowing he was within my reach. He didn't harass me or crowd me. I was the one who whispered his name like a prayer. I was the one calling for him, desperate and needy. I was the one who cried his name even in my sleep. And I was the one who always asked him to leave and never come back. Too many times he'd smiled, injured and angry, then kissed me before disappearing again. Until next time. And there was always a next time. The orgasm I was about to give myself was a sad substitute to any that he had given me. One word. That was all it would have taken to bring him back. To feel his long, thick cock driving into me as his body claimed me as his own. But it would change nothing. He had been the crowned prince of Miami's underworld when my brother had first sold me to his family. I was 21, broken, filthy, and penniless. But my dark knight had never treated me as anything other than a queen. I was no prisoner in that house. I was free to come and go as I pleased. I'd even gone on a date or two over the years. He'd never said the first word to me about them. But when I'd inevitably realized that they would never be him, I'd whisper his name and he'd come for me, his arms open, ready to pick up the pieces. By all definitions, I had an amazing life. I had a job as a vet tech that I didn't need because in our 5 years together, I'd never paid a bill. I drove a Lexus, which was magically upgraded every 6 months. Christmas, Valentine's Day, and my birthday were always celebrated with jewels and lavish trips to exotic locations. A few times I'd gone on those vacations alone. The others, I'd whispered his name on my way to the airport. Less than an hour later, he'd been sitting beside me on his private jet, bags packed, champagne poured, a devilish glint twinkling in his eyes as he tucked me into his side. No questions asked, just love, struggle, and a passion for each other that could never be extinguished. As the years passed, his power in the family business grew. Now he was the king of the largest drug ring in the country. I'd begged him more times than I could count to leave the life of crime behind and run away with me. He had more than enough money. Hell, I had more than enough that he'd given me, stashed away to support us for years. But while I never doubted that he loved me, I just couldn't make him choose me. So there we were, in love and at a stalemate. I panted, finding a rhythm at my clit, the pressure building almost painfully.
"Come for me, mi alma," he would have whispered in his thick Spanish accent. "Show me how much you love what I do to this sweet pussy."
"Oh God, baby," I whispered into the empty room, my skin catching fire as my climax peaked. All at once, I shattered, the wave of my release stealing every thought, feeling, and emotion I possessed. For that all too brief moment of ecstasy, it took everything I had not to call out for him. It had been 2 months since I'd seen him last, the longest we'd ever gone. 2 months that I'd been strong, 2 months that I'd been miserable. 2 months that would boil down to nothing if I said his name, because when he showed up minutes or hours later, there was not one doubt that I would welcome him into my home, my bed, my body, and thus my heart all over again. Tears welled in my eyes as my release ravaged me. I didn't want to spend my life in fear, wondering if the man I loved would come home at night or be shot down in the streets. I didn't want to spend my days looking over my shoulder, waiting for the police to lock my husband away. I didn't want to be alone again when, ultimately, I lost him. I didn't want to love him at all. I'd spent 5 years trying to resist. 5 years failing. 5 years smoldering in the ashes of his all-consuming fire. Maybe it was time to stop. Maybe it was time to accept the inevitable. Maybe it was time to... My bedroom window exploded. A scream tore from my throat as 3 men flooded into my room. One of them grabbed my arm, snatching me naked from the bed. my leg painfully twisting behind me. Consumed with terror and confusion, I fought, clawing at their hands and faces while reaching for the gun he kept stashed in my nightstand. It was a worthless effort. They easily overpowered me. Shards of glass crunched and sliced my stomach as they dragged me out the window, and my hands poured blood as I clung to the jagged edge, desperate to stay in that house. 5 years. Maybe I was right to be afraid of his life of crime. But right then, he was the only man who could save me. Mateo! I yelled at the top of my lungs before I was finally torn free.
Chapter 2. Mateo. Gritting my teeth, I threw the stack of black and white surveillance photos on the coffee table. And you think he took this Whitney girl to Miami? Leo James, owner of Guardian Protection Agency, and a man I didn't quite consider a friend as much as a man I didn't want to kill, shook his head. I honestly don't know, but I think there is a strong possibility he's trying to find you. I leaned back on the leather recliner in the large living room at Guardian Protection headquarters and gave him my attention. Me? I do realize that Jonah Sheehan is a fool, but now you're telling me he's suicidal as well? Leo mirrored my position, his wide shoulders squaring as he pointedly rested his palms on his thighs. Both of our guns had been ceremonially placed on the coffee table as soon as I'd arrived. It was something of a mutual show of respect. Look, he stated gruffly. I know you've had Mira under your protection for years, but I don't think Jonah knew about that when he broke into her apartment, put a gun to her head, and then kidnapped her roommate. My guess is he found out soon after, shit himself, then decided to return Whitney to you personally before you had the chance to have him decapitated. Little did the dumb fuck know, you were already here in Chicago and not home in Miami. I grinned at the compliment, but the mention of Mira's name made my lips full. Mira Benton, now York, thanks to finally breaking free of her worthless ex, was in serious trouble. That poor woman had been left in the crosshairs of every lowlife in the city when he was away in prison. She didn't deserve the garbage he'd led to her doorstep. Years earlier, when I'd visited Chicago to do business with her piece of shit husband, she'd served me drinks and then stood on the other side of the bar, talking about anything and everything for hours. Her wide smile would never falter, her presence so warm that it could thaw even the coldest heart. She was a little naive for my taste, but for a brief moment in time, she'd ignited a rare spark inside me. That was until I'd realized that spark was only because she reminded me of my Ivy, the one woman I wanted more than anything in the world but could never have, at least not permanently. For months, I'd considered pursuing Mira to see if that spark could grow. It didn't matter that she was married. I could have had her. But it did matter that when Ivy called my name, I was stopping nothing to get back to her, even if that meant trampling Mira's heart in the process. I couldn't stomach the idea of dragging Mira into that life. I was no saint, and the list of women who had learned that lesson the hard way was long and well used. But Mira was different. Just not different enough to make me forget about Ivy. After 5 years on my knees, bloody and raw, waiting for her to change her mind, I was starting to think that maybe no one would be enough to make me forget about that woman. As the youngest son in the legendary Rodriguez crime family, I'd have manipulation and control bred into me. My father believed that love was a farce for the weak, and women were a commodity that could be bought and traded as freely as heroin or cocaine. One of my earliest memories were of the moans and screams coming from my father's bedroom as I sat on the counter in the kitchen, making dinner with my mother, tears sparkling in her eyes almost as brightly as the diamonds on her wedding band. That was the way our family worked. My older brothers, Miguel and Dom, bought into it wholeheartedly. Fresh pussy became a secondary currency our men could use to pay for product. Those women, the louder they screamed, the more frightened they were, the more desperate they were to escape, the more they were worth. But not for me. because no matter how long I lived, I could never forget my mother's eyes. Dark, hollow, and shattered. Much like they were the day I'd found her dead in the bathtub, blood pooling all around her. And exactly like Ivy's eyes had been the day her brother had hauled her into my home as payment for over $10,000 of product he'd lost in a needle in his vein. I didn't wait for that asshole to tell me her name before I'd put a bullet in his brain. Then, in the very next heartbeat, I'd fallen in love. When she tried with shaking hands to comb down her long, dark hair, tears filling her eyes as she whispered a tragic, "Thank you." My Ivy, so strong, so scared, so mine. I didn't know why I'd fallen in love with that woman as hard and fast as I had, but I also didn't understand why the earth spun or why air was required for survival. They were just facts I accepted. There was nothing I wouldn't do for Ivy Cole, including letting her go, over and over and over again. I knew what she wanted, but getting out of the business was the one thing I couldn't give her. I was a wanted man. Cops, competing families, and jaded associates wanted my head on a stake. But power only responded to power. Running would have done nothing but show them the target my family name had painted on my back the day I had taken my first breath on this earth. Retiring to a dreadful ranch in Montana the way she'd begged me so desperately the last time I'd seen her was not an option, but neither was living without her. My chest ached, and I forced my thoughts from Ivy, trying to once again focus on Leo James. Chicago's a big city. Just because you haven't found Jonah doesn't mean he's not here. My men will find him, and then I'll return Whitney to Mira. I stood and straightened my dark blue suit coat, buttoning it before retrieving my gun from the table. You have assured me that this Jeremy Lark man of yours is a good fit for her. I expect that you will call me immediately should that ever change. I do not have feelings for her the way Lark believes, but she's a friend, and I do care for her a great deal. Her safety is of my utmost concern. Leo gave me a curt nod and rose to his feet. Just so you know, the last time my guy got a signal of Jonah's cell phone, it was hitting a tower somewhere in bumfuck South Carolina. He's on the move, Mateo. And I know I don't have to remind you of this, but if we're going to get Whitney back alive, time is of the essence. No, you do not have to remind me of that at all. I'll let you know. That was all I got out before the front door to Guardian Protection Agency flung open with a loud crack. I spun, gun held high. Leo turned just as fast, snagging his weapon off the table on his way around. My pulse slowed as the massive figure of my most trusted man, Jorge, came storming into the room. My relief was premature because pure terror showed on his face. "What is it?" I snapped. He flicked his gaze to Leo for only the briefest of seconds before transferring his terror to me tenfold. "Ivy," he stated, setting my world on fire. The blood in my veins roared louder than a hurricane as he shoved the phone into my face. It was a video of her bedroom. I watched as three men busted through the window, touching her, bruising her, scaring her, sealing their fate as dead men. Indescribable pressure mounted in my chest when her terrified eyes turned to the camera above her bed. But it was her guttural scream that carved every single letter of my name into my soul with a jagged blade as it passed through her lips. And then she was gone, dragged away, leaving nothing more than her blood staining the broken shards of her window. "Son of a bitch!" Leo boomed from behind me. "That was Jonah. Was that your woman?" She wasn't my woman. She was my entire fucking life. A knife hit me in the sternum, twisting as visceral rage erupted at the core of my soul. It was a place so deep, so hidden, so barren, that nothing but my love for Ivy existed within it. And because of that, it was the most brutal and vicious place of all. Ignoring Leo, I barked at Jorge. "How long ago?"
5 minutes. Javier is tailing the car. She's in the trunk, so he can't get eyes on her. What do you want us to do?
ripped them apart limb by limb before peeling the flesh from their body inch by inch. The shadow of death was painfully cold as it grew within me. First opportunity Javier gets, tell him to move. And if it doesn't require him to put a bullet between their eyes, I want every one of those assholes alive. He nodded and started away. Fisting the front of his suit, I snatched him toward me. My fingers bit into my palm through the fabric of his shirt as I brought him down to eye level. Low and malevolent, I rumble, I will gut anyone who so much as scratches her. This does not exclude my own men. Tell him to play it safe. She walks away from this unharmed, or Javier doesn't walk away at all. Understood? His eyes flared, but he jerked his chin. Yes, sir. I released him with a shove. Go. I'm right behind you. Leo was quick to step around me as Jorge rushed out the door. Mateo, wait. Bumping him with my shoulder, I attempted to push past him. I don't have time. He stopped me with a firm hand in the center of my chest. What do you need from us? Curiously, I looked him right in the eye. Okay. Maybe Leo James was a man I would consider a friend. For the sake of your men, stay out of it. Graves are going to be filling fast tonight. I'll let you know when I have Whitney. With that, I marched out of Guardian Protection, not bothering with the elevator. Instead, jogging the three flights down to the garage. My driver was there waiting for me, door open, eyes wide. I've called for your plane. I nodded, sliding into the back of the black Escalade. For the first time since I'd laid eyes on Ivy all those years earlier, I had no idea where she was. According to the video, she was somewhere with those pricks, bleeding, broken, and scared. And as we drove to my private plane, the memory of her screaming my name fucking shredded me. Because for the first time in those same 5 years since she'd entered my life, I hadn't been there for her.
And we're back.
Welcome. Hey.
Hey, lady listeners.
I love you, Lola.
Yeah, during the break, we just like make as much noise as possible because it's so hard for us to sit still and record this.
Yeah, she's like, you always have to be quiet. And we're like popping Red Bull cans and shaking ice.
Crunching ice, yelling.
Okay, so Ali Martinez is giving away a $25 Amazon gift card and a signed set of the other Guardian Protection book. And so this book you're listening to is attached to the Guardian Protection series.
Okay, good, because that was going to be my question. Like, I was like, this can't just be a standalone. This has got to connect to some world.
You can tell, when he goes to meet with the Guardian Protection guy.
Yeah. I need the rest of this.
So the first book in the series is Singe, like S-I-N-G-E. And it's the first book in the Guardian Protection series. And it's on sale this week only for 99 cents. So make sure you go grab it. I have the blurb here. Should I read it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, the first book in the Guardian Protection series, Singe. From USA Today bestselling author Ali Martinez comes a hot new series of alpha bodyguards. She was my nightmare. Every time I closed my eyes, I watched her fall into that inferno over and over. I failed to save her. I hadn't been able to reach her, and the guilt only burned hotter over time. 4 years later, I was the unreachable one. Heroes aren't always saints. Sometimes we're nothing more than jaded sinners driven by sleepless nights and hearts full of darkness. And then I met her. She was a dreamer who managed to soothe my scars and heal my wounds. But as the flames closed in around us, I feared I wasn't the right man to save her. That is until I realized she was the one woman I'd burned down the world to protect.
Just FYI, it's on Audible right now.
Yeah, so she does all of her stuff on Audible.
That's so fucking good. I love finding a new author because I've never read Ali Martinez before. And I love finding a new author.
She does a great, when I go in, I know it's going to be emotional. It's going to be suspenseful. It's going to be, I highly recommend her on Audible. Highly recommend.
So if you buy the book, if you buy Singe right now for 99 cents on Amazon, you can get the narration for probably $7. And you can do Whisper Sync, where you can read the book. And then if you go to the grocery store, you could throw your headphones in and pick up where you left off. So that's cool.
Yeah. I'm super excited. I am literally doing this right now as we're talking. So, I mean, you guys should just do that. So there you go.
All right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and say goodbye. We'll be back on Friday with the rest of Smolder by Ali Martinez. So, Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read, read me romance.